Evolutionary.org presents Evolutionary Hardcore Podcast with your co-hosts, Steve from the American Underground and Mobster from the UK Iron Den. Get ready for the most hardcore and underground info in the industry. And here we go. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6...
Evolutionary.org Hardcore 2.0 episode 64 coming your way. Today we're going to talk about DECA or NPP with Pharmacone Labs. So we're going to talk about both. Basically, it's going to be a nandrolone episode. We're going to discuss the history behind nandrolones. We're going to talk about the bodybuilding history. We're going to talk about the differences between NPP and DECA, you know, and what their true differences are. How would you incorporate them in the cycle? We're going to talk about the options that Pharmaco has when it comes to MPP and DECA. We're going to talk about our own personal experiences. You know, Mobster and I have run DECA many times. We run these nandrolone products. We're going to talk about cycling options and stacking options. We're going to talk about side effects. A lot of people are scared to run nandrolones. We're going to talk about how to mitigate the side effects that may come with it. And we're going to talk about Pharmaco in depth and why we recommend them. So, it's going to be a really fun show. Definitely check this one out and you're going to learn a lot. So let's get into nandrolone. So a lot of people associate, they say DECA. First off, like DECA, when someone says I'm using DECA, it means that they're using the nandrolone decanate ester, which is a long ester, but a lot of people just call it DECA or decadribolin. And then you have nandrolone phenylpropionate, which is MPP. So they're both nandrolones. So nandrolone, it's the best known steroid in the history of bodybuilding. They synthesized it in the 1950s. Athletes got on top of it. As far back as the mid-1960s, nandrolone has been used as a great addition along with Dianabol. And nandrolone works for any athlete looking to increase the amount of steroids he's using without increasing the side effects. So all old school bodybuilders love it. If you talk to some of the older guys in the gym, I remember back maybe 10, 15 years ago, I used to work out at a pretty good meathead gym, and the older guys in there, they all love DECA. They're all like, DECA is the shit. And Mobster is the same way. Mobster loves DECA. We got a couple guys on the forum. They love DECA.
Absolutely. Yeah.
The younger, maybe the younger middle-aged kind of guys, you know, now they're kind of scared of DECA. They moved away from DECA, but at the end of the day, DECA's still in the top 10 most used steroids. We're going to get into why that is in a second. But look, in those days, during the golden era, guys loved DECA. Why? Because DECA aromatizes way less than testosterone, and it's much more mild than testosterone. And you can inject this stuff. Back then, it came in 200 milligram a milliliter. So you could inject 2 cc's of the stuff a week and you're good to go. You don't have to do anything else. You don't have to take anything else. That's 400 milligrams of DECA a week. That's plenty for these guys to get good results on. And they didn't have to worry about water retention or gynecomastia or this other stuff. So in those days, they didn't have access to AI. So what did you do if you wanted to run something like testosterone? You ran DECA, because DECA is like testosterone light. It's like Budweiser versus Bud Light. It's the lighter version of testosterone, but it still gives you that tremendous appetite increase, tremendous bulking ability, tremendous strength without the water retention, without those extra whatever separates Budweiser from Bud Light. I'm not a beer drinker, but I'm assuming it has to do with the calories. I'm assuming that's a lighter version, has less alcohol, whatever. So DECA allows you to still enjoy your steroid cycle without those extra side effects of the androgenic and estrogenic issue. So that's why they love to use it. Arnold loved to use DECA. The guys in the 70s and the golden era, they love to use DECA for that reason. And really, at the end of the day, you know, we have this misconception of DECA over the years due to different factors, which we're going to get into in depth in the show, why people are scared to use DECA, but we're going to explain it and give you the facts. Once you learn facts about these steroids, you won't be scared to use DECA, and you're going to realize, wow, you know, these nandrolones are actually safer than a lot of these other steroids that I'm using. So really, that's what we want to do. So Momster touched on that, and I'll kind of talk a little bit of the chemical structure and explain why nandrolones have less side effects than testosterone even, and I'll get into that.
Yeah, it occurs to me two things, Steve. One is you mentioned about the old guys, and I'll touch on that first. We will talk about the misconception over the healing of joints with DECA, and I'll touch on that later on in the show. But there's an argument to be made for both competing bodybuilders, aka Arnold, as you also referred to, drying out, dieting down, and that can be a case of making you feel uncomfortable. Training becomes that much harder when you're on a diet, and so on and so forth. And you're more likely to have joint issues. You're also pushing as hard as you possibly can when you're competing to be the absolute best shape you possibly can on stage. So not only have you got low body fat, you're pushing the risk of injury that much higher and just being uncomfortable, which is actually part of the game as a competing bodybuilder. DECA, certainly in the earlier stages of someone's competition cycle, and certainly back in the day, would be something that can make you feel comfortable. In other words, literally the way that it, the method of methodology, the way that it works in the body, makes your joints feel more comfortable. Now, that's where the misconception comes, and I'll touch on upon that later. The same thing applies to older guys. And the pre-show, Steve and I were talking about meathead gyms and people that we're seeing, and I touched upon the name of a local person that trains at the gym down there. And I said that one of the things I've said about him in the past is that he might have joint problems, Steve. He may well have trained a certain way back in the day that makes it difficult for him to train the way that he'd like to now with full range movements and better form and so on and so forth. It may not be that either. But equally, what happens is that us older guys tend to have had some sort of injury in the past. We tend to have, just as you would even if you didn't train, Steve, more wear and tear on our joints. And using DECA while we're on cycle is going to, again, not heal your joints, but specifically it's going to make those pains ease away. It's going to make your joints feel better. So there is also, I mean, obviously something which applies to all steroids, and especially to those that some of us do better on than others, and it's quite simply this: results, results, results. Now, whether that's running it on its own, in the DECA form or the MPP form, or using it as part of a stack. But at the end of the day, what do we want? We don't want to take a steroid that we don't notice any effect from. That wouldn't make any sense. And it may well be one of the things, again, also, I'll touch on this as well, Steve, and we said this in another show recently, availability. Back in the day, and we touched on this both on the forums, I think in the Rambo thread that was on the forums recently, where we were saying availability of products in the 80s versus availability of products now. And Steve said that I've said this, and I'll say it again, Steve, we've never had it so good. So younger guys will quite easily say, well, I could have, but that there's so much more available right now. There's so many other things I can do. The SARMs, the peptides, the different esters. We did a show recently where we couldn't believe some of the blends that we were discussing and so on and so forth. We hadn't come across some of these blends. Literally, availability of products has never been as good as it is right now at this point in history in the iron game. And so the availability product back in the day would be less, whether you got it from your local steroid distributor, from the fella that was selling steroids out of the trunk of his car, or even, as occasionally happened down at Gold's in California, a couple of other places where you went to a friendly doctor. There was always, even now, Steve, I think one of the people that gave out trophy at a recent Olympia was a highly qualified doctor. So there's always been a small percentage of medical professionals that have been bodybuilders, worked out, trained, kept in shape, loved bodybuilding, loved the physiques, etc., big fans of the iron game. And a handful of those, a very small number, was the kind of people that Arnold, etc., could have gone to back in the day for their steroids on prescription when it was quite legal. In fact, Arnold discussed this back in the day. But the availability of products, even for those doctors to distribute, was very small. A handful, 5-6 different steroids. As Steve said, no AIs. Peptides didn't exist. SARMs didn't exist. Literally no availability of those things. Growth hormone wasn't really a thing to the 90s and 2000s. It existed before then, but we're talking about growth hormone from cadavers. So people misunderstand sometimes. It isn't necessarily one thing's better than something else. It was just that's all there was. So, yeah, that's a quick history lesson for you guys in terms of the availability. As Steve said, we're talking about 50s and 60s when we're talking about nandrolone versus now when we could talk about so many different esters, Steve. We did a show just on esters the other day. Again, I couldn't believe how many different esters there was, never mind the availability of blends and products and whatever else. So, yeah, just on that alone, the older guys, it's what they had. It worked. And the older guys that are using it now, and I'm going to include myself because I'm a huge fan of Deca, is, again, literally the point where you're going to be using it on cycle. You're going to be blasting crazy weights, especially in my case. You might have increased your volume. You're going to have wear and tear. And something that makes you feel comfortable, I mean literally comfortable, is not repairing the joints, but it is making those joints feel better, the injuries you carry, et cetera, et cetera. Oh my God, why wouldn't you take it? And absolutely, I can see why older guys would be fans, both for the use in the past and for the use now. Back to you, Steve.
So the way that these esters are separated, you have the nandrolone phenylpropionate, which I'm going to talk about, and of course, the decadurobolan, which is the nandrolone decanate. So really, all they do is they take the nandrolone preparation, nandrolone hormone preparation, and they add the ester chain to it. So either the decanoate ester chain to get the long ester deca version that is most popular, and that was what they used back then. And another advantage to that, as Mobster said, is the taboo of injecting, especially in America in those days, because you as a bodybuilder, you didn't want to get associated in those days with the war on drugs and the hippie culture of let's inject share needles, you know, under the tent at Woodstock, you know, and, you know, let's do drugs together, let's smoke pot and all that. Bodybuilders didn't want that stigma. It was really the era of the older generation that preceded Mobster. Yeah. They really hated drug use and they really hated hippies, and they loved when the cops would take the clubs and beat the shit out of the hippies, right? In the 60s. And, you know, for protesting the war and all this stuff and sex and drugs. And they had these tents and they were making love in the tents. Make love, not war. So the stigma behind it, bodybuilders didn't want to be a part of that. So the taboo of injecting was there. So with Deca, the reason they loved Deca in those days is they had that ability to just do one injection a week, 2 cc's with one needle, boom, and you're done. In your glute, you're done. And there's no injecting, there's no often injecting. So they love that in those days versus their other option, which was taking Dianabol by mouth. Dianabol, 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 Proviron, Proviron, Proviron. They had to take it every day, handfuls of Dianabol, boom, right? A hell of a lot easier to just pin once a week. So it took away the stigma of having that. That's another reason why Deca was so popular in those days. With Primo, Arnold and the other guys in the Golden Age, they also loved Primo. But the problem with Primo was that it came in 100 milligram amps, okay?
Yes.
And it was a very high molecular structure, and that shit hurt to inject. So what would you have to do if you wanted to run a lot of Primo, 600, 700 milligrams a week of Primo? You'd have to inject it every single day. So you were going through 6 or 7 needles every week. Over the course of a month, you're going through 30 needles. You see the stigma? With Deca, over the course of a month, if you're injecting it once a week and you're doing 2 cc's, you're getting 400 milligrams of the stuff. So you only have to inject it 4 times a month. With Primo, guys were having to inject this stuff 25 or 30 times a month. You see why Deca was so popular now? That's why. Now, I'll bring in you, Mobster, in a second, yeah, but with the nandrolone phenylpropionate, you've got to inject them more often. You got to inject it 3 times a week. So that ester chain, you have to inject it more often. I'll let you talk about that, and I'll get more into the chemical structure, Mobster. Go ahead.
Well, I'm going to touch on two things here, Steve. I'm old enough to remember, and I wrote down vials, I mean amps. So here we go, guys. Two things here. My mum will be 80 this year as we record this show, and I'll be 60. And I mentioned in conversation the other day, the podcast that I do with Steve, it's not something we talk about a lot, Steve. And I happened to say probably for the first time. I suspect she's known for absolutely ages. It's never been a conversation. But I happened to mention my first use of steroids at 37, and she went momentarily quiet, didn't really respond to it as such or say anything about it, because I think she knows that I knows what I'm doing, et cetera, et cetera. Hence the shows, of course. But there was still that, as you said, association with the previous generation, because that must mean my son used steroids. That must mean my son uses syringes, and so on and so forth. But by the same token, she knows that I'm quite healthy, I'm still strong, I haven't got any injuries, yada, yada, yada. So the next thought must have been, well, he must know what he's doing because he hasn't fucked up. He hasn't ended up in hospital. He hasn't done anything silly. And, you know, hasn't had any issues with syringes that he's had to mention. So there's definitely an association there. The other thing which occurs to me, Steve, is I'm old enough when I very, very first got into steroids at all, and again, age 37, like I told my mother, I was, the source was a particular very well-known steroid guru in this country, who even, maybe not now, not certainly just a few years ago, would have still been a great source for imported products, specifically Pakistan, Iranian, Russian, and so on and so forth. And a lot of those products come in ampules. It took a few years before we started to see vials. So it would be the concentration of steroid in 1 mL, Steve, in an ampule. But I know some people still like those kind of things. So I'm old enough to remember when that stuff came in, essentially low dose. We're going to talk about the products that Pharmaco does, and they don't do a 200 milligram per mil. It's actually 300 milligram per mil for the Deconate version, and a little bit less for NPP for obvious reasons. But yeah, the stuff that was coming back in a day was multiple ampules in a box, little plastic tray. And again, that would be a lower concentration per mil. So again, more frequent injection just on that. And the whole ampules, as you may remember, Steve, were a pain. If they didn't break properly, you had bits of glass on the floor and you had to do it a certain particular way or use the file. It's much easier using the file. So yeah, it's that history again, Steve, of the way it used to be used and how it used to come versus how it comes now and how much easier it is to get now and so on and so forth. So yeah, definitely not anything. The association with needles, certainly for my mum's generation and up to a very small degree, my generation, associated with recreational drugs, the narcotics, etc., still exists. And you and I actually did a show recently when we were talking specifically about injections and needles and syringes and so on and so forth. And we understand it, especially as it's weird, Steve. You and I, as a steroid user, would be comfortable in terms of self-injecting, but equally as I am, as a parent and a grandparent, I'd probably be uncomfortable for fairly obvious reasons if I heard that my daughter or my grandchildren were somehow associated with steroids or drugs or whatever else, and especially the syringe stuff. And I've seen some god-awful stuff working on the streets as I've done back in the day. So yeah, the association's always going to be there, I suspect. It's becoming less so when it's connected to steroids. And certainly in terms of, I mean, Steve touched on this, not just the sheer size of populations that we have now, but the percentage of people that are using steroids. It is a much, much bigger percentage of people that are comfortable with it, using it, and especially for performance enhancement, way more common than it was. And also, of course, Steve, just in the media, the association in the media has changed, and even the idea that film stars might be using steroids, sports stars are almost certainly using steroids, and so on and so forth, isn't quite the horror story that it used to be. If we get time later in the show, we've actually got a list of athletes and famous people that we know have used DECA because they've been busted for it. So that's just to give you an idea. But that news ends up, ironically, making you more comfortable with the idea of using steroids and syringes and whatever else, because you're talking about it in a public way, even if it's on the news item. Yeah, so back to you, Steve.
Yeah, and here's the thing with the chemical structure. Really, the way DECA ester was designed was really you only have to inject this stuff every 3 weeks. But if we're going to use it in a cycle, you want to use it every week because you want to kind of get it into your system quicker, you know? So you don't want to take it in a big amount and then have to wait 3 weeks to take another big amount. You rather just like take a little more up front, you know, week one, week two, week three, then get it a little more in your system. But ironically, we've seen guys in the past do front, it's what's called front loading. So they'll do a big amount to start. And because the esters are slow releasing, they'll be in your system. So I can make the argument that front loading DECA would get it in your system just as fast as injecting it once a week because the ester release is so slow. So really, we're going to get into that later in the show. I'm not trying to confuse you, but I'm just explaining that's how it was designed. So it was designed to be injected less frequently. And again, this was a big thing. So if you're a guy in the 60s and there's stigma behind, you know, injecting in needles, then if you can get away with only injecting 3 or 4 times a month, you know, right? Versus using Primo, injecting 25 or 30 times a month, that was huge. So now you see why the popularity exploded. Plus with DECA, you got more gains versus Primo in terms of pure bulking. In those days, everybody was skinny and people were going from skinny to bulk. Now everybody's overweight and most people want to go in America. I'm talking about America. Want to go from overweight to lean because America is the third most obese country. So, you know, so there are some skinny guys that are younger and they want to bulk up and they use DECA in that situation as well. But we'll get into that shortly. So look, at the end of the day, DECA, you know, very, very popular in those days. Very, very popular. So hopefully that explains the difference. Now, in terms of which you should choose, okay, let's talk about the differences specifically between MPP and DECA in real world terms. We talked about the ester differences. One is a very, 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 very slow release, okay? We're talking about a 16-day half-life, which means if you take it on a weekly basis, it will take many weeks to peak in your system. We're talking about week 7, week 8, week 9 even. It'll take to peak in your system. And then on the way out, it will also take longer to leave your system. So that's another thing to keep in mind. So let's say right off the bat, you only want to run like an 8 or 10 week cycle. Would it make any sense to use DECA? Not as much sense as it would to use MPP. So I would use MPP because it's going to be in your system quicker. MPP, you're going to need to inject it 3 times a week, okay? That's fine. That's plenty. Even twice a week is fine, okay? 2 or 3 times a week is fine. But in a cycle like this, 3 times a week would be ideal, you know, just so you can have your injection schedule, right? So you could run it 8 weeks, and it would peak in your system after maybe 2 or 2.5 weeks. It'd be peaking in your system due to the half-life of phenylpropionate. And so you get the peak effects earlier in your system, and then once you stop using it, it will be out of your system quicker. So I make the first argument, Mobster. If you're a person who wants to recover quicker from a cycle, and you don't want to have to take as much time off, it makes sense to use the MPP option versus the DECA option because it's not only going to be in your system quicker, it's going to be out of your system quicker. So you'll be able to start. Yeah. You got to remember with exogenous hormones, you will not start recovering your HPTA until it's completely out of your system. So with DECA, you're not going to start your recovery process for 8, 9, 10 weeks. After you stop injecting it. Isn't that crazy? So if you want to like hop on your next cycle quicker, you can't because you got to wait that 8, 9, 10 weeks for it to clear. Then you got to wait another 8, 9, 10 weeks to give your body a chance to recover along with your PCT and all that stuff. And then your bridge phase and all that. So you may only get away with 2 cycles a year using DECA, but with MPP, you could squeeze out 3 cycles a year, no problem. You see? So that would be the first thing to consider in my
Let me jump in, Steve. There's an argument to be made that you're going to get the benefits of DECA quicker. There's an argument to be made quite properly, again, I think, for a competition stack, or again, we sometimes see these come up, modeling gigs or holidays that were sprung on a person or so on and so forth. And again, there are other choices, of course. But the argument then becomes, right, so it's quicker in your system, quicker out your system, exactly like Steve said. And that would be, to my mind, absolutely massively beneficial if you're time limited or you're doing a competition stack. And we touched on competition stacks before, not just a sheer volume of drugs, et cetera, that professional bodybuilders use, but the ability or the requirement for the ability to manipulate the steroids you're using quicker in, quicker out, and allowing to see the benefits quicker from a much leaner, genetically blessed hard training, competing bodybuilder. Certain steroids you don't want in your system in the last week or two. So any steroid that can be used to give you Deca-like results quicker and then quickly leave the system so you can put something else in so you can get your athlete, if you're coaching, prepping, etc., or yourself, again, for the same reasons, in condition on the day of a competition versus, say, someone like myself who's just training for strength, wants to be the size of a fucking house when he's doing so, gets as big as possible, and then doesn't mind the fact that it takes a long time to leave the system. Equally, and something that Steve just touched upon, I can see arguably, absolutely see the benefit, Steve, and I've actually said this, when it comes to the shorter cycles, and again, MPP for that particular reason, I'm much more keen on the idea, because people sometimes discuss cycles in isolation. And I will say something on occasion like, well, if you do this many weeks, and if you use something like MPP, then there's a potential for three decent steroid stacks that might add X, Y, Z pounds of muscle onto you. And just about in a 52-week year, just about give you time off in between each cycle to completely come off, completely clear the system, do PCT, as try as best you possibly can for full recovery of your heptal, like Steve says, and then go back on. There's literally just, I'd probably run it on the basis of 8 weeks on, 8 weeks off, 8 weeks on, 8 weeks off, and so on and so forth. So you would just start to creep over into the next year with three decent cycles and the amount of time off that you possibly could. It might be slightly longer off, but it's just possible to do three cycles. And for those of you that are great, especially the younger guys that want to put on that massive amount of muscle that you probably can in the first 1 or 2 years, of course it slows down later on, that kind of approach would be fantastic. I mean, on that approach alone, and maybe on a typical gains per cycle, you're looking at 15 to 20 pounds a year, Steve, for the first couple of years. So that would be mind-blowing. It doesn't happen towards the end. It doesn't happen after multiple steroid cycles or multiples of years, but it's certainly possible in the first 2 years, 3 years. And that's the approach that perhaps someone like that might take. So there's definitely a possibility and a way of doing it there. Again, that wasn't my approach back in the day. It's not my approach now, but my requirements are different. And the obvious thing is, Steve, is again, availability. Why do we have MPP and DECA? Because some people just literally like to have the choice. Why do we have multiple testosterone esters? For the same reason, not just because our requirements are different, but because we like to have the choice to do things differently at different times. And so you've definitely got the option there, guys, to run it one particular way or another way. If you're competing, you might want to run it this way. If you're a recreational lifter now, as I kind of am now, then that happens. Even back in the day when I was doing my SUS and DECA cycles, and we'll talk about that later on, that was for the main competition or the heavy competition of the year. So I was only really running that particular stack once a year. So the time that I would come off in between wasn't an issue. Plenty of time, another 12 months. It might be for British Championships. It might be for one of our friendly strength competitions at the end of the year. So I didn't need to do multiple cycles through the year. So it suited my purposes then. And it would certainly suit the recreational lifter and the older recreational lifter to be able to do a longer cycle. But again, younger guys wanting to get in shape at a beach, holiday, modeling gig, or competing, then absolutely I can see that there's a reason why they would use MPP. Quicker in, quicker out, quicker peak in, and the ability to manipulate the steroid stacks and cycles that they're doing for competition. Back to you.
You know, the thing you got to think about is how often you need to pin in how often. So Pharmaco has two options, which are excellent. They've got the Nandrolone D300, which is 300 milligrams a milliliter, and they have the Nandrolone P100, which is 100 milligrams a milliliter. So there's a couple of factors you have to keep in mind. With that Nandrolone P, let's say you want to run 400 milligrams a week of Nandrolone. If you pin 100 milligrams three times a week, you're still not at 400 milligrams. But on the Nandrolone D, if you do 2 cc's, you're already up to 600 milligrams, you see? So really, with the Nandrolone D, you could do 1 1/3 cc a week, and you'd be getting 400 milligrams. But with the Nandrolone P, you'd have to do 4 cc's a week to get the 400 milligrams. So that's another thing you want to keep in mind. Do you mind injecting more volume?
Yes.
Do you mind?
More frequently, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, and more frequently. So that's an advantage. We talked about on the first segment, where, you know, not the first segment, but the first point was, wow, MPP sounds so much better. I might as well use MPP. But now that I just said that, now you might be thinking, wow, it makes more sense to use the Nandrolone D300 because now I can just inject a small amount, 1 1/3 cc, put that in the syringe and pin it, and I'm done for the week. I got 400 milligrams in my system. And you can mix it with another steroid. We're going to get into stacking the next segment. Yes. But now you can mix in a cc of Equipoise or Tren or testosterone or whatever else you want to use with the DECA, and you'd be getting enough, and you'd be injecting, it's simple. So those are factors you have to take, you have to factor in. And obviously, if you're a person who's on TRT, you're not going to care about recovery. You're already on TRT anyway.
Exactly. Yeah.
But if you're a person who wants to recover to HPTA, you may want to consider the MPP and dealing with having to pin more volume more often, because it'd be out of your system quicker. So those are things you've got to sit down, you got to think about. But the nice thing about PharmacoMobster is they give you the option in the first place.
Yes, exactly.
Back then, you didn't have the option. You had the deck.
You got what you got.
Yeah. So now you have the option. So that's
let me touch on that again, Steve. I mean, look, every so often, I was going to say I despair, but I don't really. We'll have someone come on the forums and in the comments, and they'll say, I've got this, I've got that, I've got the other, I'm thinking of running them at these dosages, but they won't say why. They won't say I want to get lean. They won't say I'm going to bulk. They won't say I've got joint issues. They won't say if they're strength athlete. They won't say if they're bodybuilding. You go, hang on. Let's start with what you want, because that's literally what you should do. We should actually probably do a separate podcast on this, but if you sit down and you go, I want to gain muscle, you go, okay, how old are you? How far are you? And so on and so forth. What's your experience with steroids? Okay, right, so a really basic cycle would be this, but you've actually had a couple of cycles of those, so you want to do this. What steroids have you used? And so on and so forth. So what you really want when you're listening to these shows, this is the kind of decisions you should be making. Okay. What do I want from my training? What do I want from my steroid stack? Do I want to get leaner, add muscle, and so on and so forth? And therefore, it's going to come down to, okay, the issue of availability is no longer the issue. That absolutely can't be. Whether it's Pharmaco or anybody else, it's the availability of steroids. I mean, we looked at one site earlier on, Steve, 72 Pharmaco products. We absolutely know that there's availability of products. It's easy for you guys to get, way easier than ever before. Therefore, it should literally come down to what is best for you, what your previous experience is, and so on and so forth. It shouldn't necessarily be as it was in the past, and occasionally seems to be the case. My local steroid dealer's only got this. Well, then go somewhere else. Go to a company, a reseller for Pharmaco products. You have 72 choices. You don't have 3 choices out of the trunk of anybody's car anymore. What do you want? How big do you want to get? How much muscle do you want to add? How strong do you want to get? And then we make the decisions. Then we make the recommendations. We talk about Pharmaco products and so on and so forth. And so, okay. I mean, it even occurs to me, Steve, you could start with MPP and then go into the longer acting DECA version if you wanted to. Again, you want something in your system quicker, and you want the results quicker, and so on and so forth. We've talked about being flexible. So that's a possibility. I mean, I don't think it's necessity, but it's a possibility. It's absolutely down to you, the listener, what you want. So we'd like to know those things and how it's going to run and all the rest of it. It shouldn't be about availability anymore. It shouldn't be only this, that, or the other. And occasionally, the only other thing I would probably say, and I love DECA, by the way, is that there are maybe 2 or 3 steroids I've used where I didn't seem to respond to them, versus buddies that did, and I've discussed it in other shows. So in the case of DECA, that's absolutely, I love DECA, so I absolutely respond to it. So it would definitely be a thing for me. I haven't run MPP to date. If I ever compete again in some point in the future, and I'm also more comfortable now probably with pinning than any point in my life, I can see that it's a possibility. But as it currently stands, I don't need to, but you, the listener, might different in your approach on what you want from training. And again, like I said, certainly with regards to competing and so on and so forth versus someone who's more recreational and just lifting for themselves, and for that matter, just doing steroids for themselves now than the competitive approach I would have taken in the past, Steve. But yeah, absolutely.
Why don't you get into first your experiences with DECA, which is the not long ester. What have you stacked with it? What were your results? And tell us a little bit about the dosing.
Yeah, regular listeners will know, but the new listeners will not. I've discussed multiple times on multiple shows that we talk about favorite steroid stacks. We talked about what steroids are number one, top 10 list and so on and so forth. But I would argue for myself as an injectable steroid stack that my absolute best, favoriteest, whatever you want to call it, steroid stack of all time has been a combination of Sustanon, 250, and Deconate. And I was running, I believe, I will say these numbers, and I never remember exactly because it was a long time ago, whether it was a combined total, bearing in mind I was pinning twice a week, I think Monday and Thursday, it worked out to either 675 milligrams or 765 milligrams. I can never quite remember. So let's call that 700 and 800 per week. Pharmacusustan on 250 would be my absolute choice now in this particular regards, especially as we do this show, combining that with the deck out of 300. And again, because I did the numbers based on how much it was per week when you averaged it out, Steve. What was my response to that? I blew up like a motherfucker. Absolutely. I've told this story before. So I'm living in Gloucester, 2005 to 2011, and I believe I arrived at 260 pounds. By the time I left Gloucester, I think I peaked around 290. But at the particular time I run both those cycles that stick in my mind, I went from 280 pounds to 300 pounds on both cycles. Now, this was for specific competition. Being the size of a house benefited me in that time. Leverage, we would do something called the Whey Power Challenge, Steve, which is essentially a squat, bench, and deadlift meet, at least one overhead movement and one grip movement. And you could choose to do all of them or one of them or whatever else. And then 20 or so of us, including a bunch of training buddies from strongman competitions, we come together and we go and have an early Christmas dinner. So my thing was always some sort of grip lift, maybe some deadlift variant with a thick bar and benching like a motherfucker. And we're talking about a long ass time ago. So if I could get as big as a house, my bench press was always go up and I would add 20 kilos, 44 pounds in it. So I think the one particular thing, I'll touch on this for the listeners that were a little bit less body weight orientated. I had a bet with a very famous in the United Kingdom now, he's growing more famous over time, I won't name him, powerlifting buddy, as he became, of 1,000 kilo total. And I said I would get the 300 pounds before him. And unfortunately for him, he had some sort of viral thing a few days. So he turns up at 297, 298, and I ended up slightly, a tiny, tiny fraction over 300 pounds. As I said before, Steve, yeah, combined totals were, you're talking about injecting 300 milligrams of the Deca, you're talking about injecting 250 milligrams. Now, of course, it would be, of course, the Pharmacusustan on 250, but that's every 4 days, and that averaged out, I think, between 700 and 800 milligrams per week. And that, for me, was absolutely perfect. The only issue, and I say the only issue, Steve, was gaining that much weight in a relatively short period of time was finding the gym, absolutely fabulous. Fine walking around, horrendous walking upstairs. And I only lived in a little two-downstairs, Steve. Just walking upstairs when you're 20 pounds heavier, one flight of stairs from the ground floor to the first floor was like, what the fuck? Because I put on 20 pounds in a very short period of time. I wasn't aiming to try and stay at 300 pounds in those days, so I would come off cycle and allow my body weight to drop down. I might gain a couple of pounds of muscle here and there, but I wasn't trying to have it stick. Now I'm well over that weight, and I'm stuck with it. It doesn't bother me, but at that particular time, it suited my purposes. And again, absolutely loved it. The sense of well-being in terms of again, the joint, because I'm pushing hard in the gym, pounding around the weights, training bench twice a week, etc. So my joints feel better. I filled the size of a house and filling out my clothes. Walking around at 300, as I say, was fun. Just the going up and down. Says. The other thing, and Steve touched on it earlier, and it just occurs to me, appetite. And we've talked about Deca for this particular reason. So it's a kind of side effect, which we'll get into. I've touched upon other shows that my hunger went through the roof. I'm just a 3 meal a day kind of guy, Steve, but I would increase, obviously, the volume of food that I was eating. I'd make sure to be getting my shakes in, et cetera, et cetera. My hunger was so bad, or good, depending upon your point of view, that I would be eating a meal and I would be hungry for the next meal. That sense of hunger that you sometimes have when you haven't eaten, I would have that while I was eating. I would literally be thinking about the next meal to come. Oh, I can't wait for that one that's later on, because that's how bad my appetite was. So especially for you listeners, that some of you, I mean, no, this is a good 15, 20% of you, and we know this from the forums, et cetera, the struggle. When we see young guys, 140 pounds, 150 pounds, 6 foot tall, 165 pounds, 6 foot tall, over 6 foot tall, in a couple of examples, convinced that they're eating as much as they possibly can. You know that they're not. And anything that boosts your appetite to the point what I've just discussed would actually be a kind of bonus in terms of putting on kind of body weight. So it can be annoying, especially if you were competing as a bodybuilder and you want to get into shape. But for those of you that want to add weight, I didn't mind, Steve. Literally thinking about what I'm going to eat later on while I'm still putting food in my mouth. My hunger should be satiated. I'm putting food in, I'm filling my belly up, but I'm thinking about the next meal. And I know, excuse me, Steve, I know that even you've talked about how bad that could be when you used it.
Yeah, and definitely. And again, it goes back to what I was saying earlier and the way it's structured. It's basically testosterone with an atom chain. So you're getting testosterone, but you're not getting the water retention, the high blood pressure, the other side effects, the androgenic side effects with testosterone. So if you eliminate both those estrogenic and androgenic side effects from something like a testosterone molecule, you're going to end up with something that obviously makes you appetite goes up. Plus you're gaining strength and weight so fast that it's going to, obviously your body's going to be wanting more food. So for me, I can remember I was doing a Christmas company dinner and I went to the dinner and I ordered a meal and we're all sitting there eating. And I finished my meal and I called the waiter over. I was like, dude, you know, I want another something else. I'm still hungry, you know? So of course it was a company dinner. So the company was paying for it, you know? I want another dinner. And the guy's like, well, it's going to be another 20 minutes. I don't care how long it takes. Just bring me more food. It was, I'm still hungry. And I'm then going there eating off of other people's plates and stuff. So definitely. Yeah. It definitely makes you hungry. So we're going to get into the side.
Jump in very quick, Steve. Yeah. You just reminded me. I was at, they used to have something here called the Oscar Heidenstam Award dinners, right? And you've reminded me, I would occasionally do feats of strength for the latter part, even 10 or 11 o'clock at night after the awards and the food was over. But you just reminded me about that, where people that were there, they were, because they're competing, because they like to be in shape, they were giving me their puddings. Or do you want this extra chicken breast? That happened a couple of times. Yeah, I didn't have to pay for it, thank goodness, like you did. But I can imagine that I probably would have done. Could I have another dinner, please? Another $20 or something? Absolutely. So yeah.
I'd wake up 90 pounds. Yeah. I tell the story on this other podcast when I was the first time I used DECA. I woke up in the morning and I'd have like I get the bison burger, the grass fed bison. I put it on a pan. And I'd cook it and I'd flip it, you know. I didn't have a grill at the time. And I'd make a burger, right, with some Ezekiel bun and some lettuce, tomato, whatever. Nice. I'd eat that. Nice. Then I would go to the gym. And then I'd come back home and I'd be hungry again. So I'd basically make two of those burgers.
One
pre-workout, one post-workout. And I was still hungry.
Yeah, you see. Know?
This is coming from someone who doesn't even eat breakfast anymore. But I would wake up so fucking hungry that I'd have to eat a pre and post. So that's what DECA does. And plus, when you
Steve, one more. I would work, take the bus home, and I had sometimes, if I didn't catch the right bus, I'd have to change. And where the change for the buses was a burger stall. And I would have a burger there, and I was living with someone at the time, and I'd get in, and I'd have to wait 15 or 20 minutes before, because what I'd normally do is get in and eat straight away. I'm hungry from work. No. You've eaten everything. Yeah, that's a different. So I'm on four meals or five meals because I'd have had a burger on the way home and then sat down and had a pasta dinner or something like that when I got in. And of course, I was obligated to finish that food as well. So, I mean, all joking aside, guys, the appetite boost is for real. And for those of you that need it, and that's kind of how you need to do it. Seriously, especially if you use those who are underweight and what the game, that's kind of what you need to do. So, you know, it can be difficult. There's an element of sometimes with the weight gain and bodybuilding and whatever else, where, and I've had this as well, Steve. Eddie Hall talked about this. In order for him to do the 500 kilo deadlift, he had to be force fed. His wife had actually sat down, I think they talked about this on one of his hot shows, and it's the end of the day. He's trained for 4 hours, he's recovered for 4 hours. He's done all these things that he needs to do, but he needs to get to this particular body weight, because if I can get to this body weight, I'm going to pull the 500 kilos. And I think that she said, you know, you're going to do this and then that's it. You're not doing anything crazy after this, you're a motherfucker, et cetera, et cetera. But she supported him on the journey. So she sat him down and was literally, he was tired, he was trying not to fall asleep, and she is taking her spoon, putting it into the food on the table and putting the food in his mouth like a baby. I've tried to do that sort of stuff back in the past where I force-fed myself and couldn't get a certain amount of food down and was full up to the brim, thought I was going to spew, et cetera. So anything in that situation that makes you want to eat, that makes it that you come home and have another bison burger, is a plus. Equally, if that's the worst thing you can possibly think of, then maybe Decker's not for you. But it certainly benefited me that time and for those experiences. And again, his wife supporting him helps as well. Back to you, Steve.
You got to have food prep. You got to know how to food prep ahead of time. Come on the forum, read some of the logs, look how guys are food prepping. So food prep is extremely important on DECA. What I would do is I would prep a big thing of fruit, and I'd cut up the fruit, the melon, I put it in a big container, and I put that in the fridge. So I'd take a scoop of fruit, very nice and hydrating, full of fiber. I'd have the bison burgers, the grass-fed burgers. I'd have some Ezekiel buns, some good quality, you know, buns. I'd get, you know, a chicken breast, marinate the chicken breast, and either grill it. If you don't have an outdoor grill, you can get a George Foreman grill, or you can get an air fryer, cook it in the air fryer, and prep your food. Prep your vegetables, asparagus, broccoli, whatever vegetables you want, salads. Have it prepped. This way the meals are ready. Don't go into the cycle and depend on Uber Eats to deliver you shitty-ass food or fast food, because now you're going to dirty bulk and you're going to make yourself sick and you're not going to get the proper results. So make sure, that's a huge part of bulking, is making sure you get good quality food. Let's get into you want to touch on that, Mobster, and we'll get into the side.
Yeah, just one more tip, and I've done this I've done it recently, Steve. I cook sometimes twice as much food as I need. If I'm going to make a pasta thing, just cook twice, do 500 grams of beef mince and so on and so forth, and cook up the equivalent of three meals. I've done that recently, Steve, and then I eat one meal and I freeze two meals. I know that some of you guys are super hard working and doing long, crazy days, and the idea of getting up on a Sunday morning and spending 2 hours cooking chicken breast doesn't appeal to you, but you're okay with something that takes 15, 20, 25 minutes of a night time. So again, cook two times as much food as you're going to eat, and eat one half and freeze the other half. You do that a couple of times during the week, and now you've meal prepped without even realizing that you're meal prepping. It's not the same as sitting down on a Sunday and cooking 20 chicken breasts and 4 pounds of rice or whatever. It's different. It feels like you're not really doing much more than you would normally do. It takes no time, no more effort than the one meal would have done on its own. And it's just literally put the rest into a tub or the head tub in the freezer, job done. So that's super, super simple. Discuss the number one issue, Steve, which, and again, it's probably because of misconceptions and how people are doing it. And I've made a couple of show notes, but I'll let you jump in first. The number one argument for DECA is DECA dick. So talk about that first.
Yeah, so, you know, it's funny though, like, because a lot of people in America uses more dick drugs. I think there's like 80% of the dick drugs used in the world is used in America. Yet we're X population. We're not even the most populous country. Yet we use 80% of dick drugs. So obviously we have problems. Okay. We have sexual problems in America. It's our stressful lifestyle. It's the diet. It's the food. It's the food we're eating. It's the drinks, all the stuff. We're not going to get into that. But here's the thing. People who have never used DECA have dick problems. So my opinion, a lot of this, if you have existing dick problems and you use DECA or any other anabolic steroid, obviously the hormonal changes can make a change. But here's, I'm going to get into the science of why specifically with nandrolones, you might be having an issue. If you are someone who is DHT sensitive, meaning when DHT levels go up in your body, you get more sex drive, more erections, more harder erections, you will have the opposite effect on nandrolone, because nandrolone actually binds to DHT receptors in the body. It causes a rise to what's called dihydronandrolone in the body, which that's what it metabolizes into, okay? And that's by design. That's the whole design. It's designed to be a less of a DHT effect. It's designed to hit your prostate less. It's designed to hit your hair loss less. They wanted to create something that had less side effects. They wanted to take away those DHT side effects from testosterone. And it did. They did. They made the accomplishment. This is why people use nandrolone, they use DECA, and they keep their hair. But guys who use Winstrol, their hair sheds like crazy because Winstrol is a very harsh DHT derivative. So here's my theory on how to combat it. And a lot of guys over the years have adopted this idea from me. And I started this theory about 15 years ago on the forums. And now a lot of people I'm noticing I'm recommending it. Even these guys on YouTube who just parrot and copy paste their information to make themselves look smart, they're even saying it. And here's my basis. If you use anandrolone, use DECA or use MPP, right? Use a DHT derivative with it. That will offset the rise in that DHN that I was talking about. So it's causing a balance in the body. So that's going to be the key to helping with the Decadic. So another, the best one to use is Proviron. Proviron is a straight DHT derivative. It's got low side effects. It's affordable and it comes in oral form and it doesn't hit your liver like other oral steroids, okay? It's not as liver toxic as other steroids. Some people would argue it's not liver toxic at all, but I don't buy into that. Anytime you put a foreign substance in your body, it's going to have some effect on your liver and kidneys, but it's not going to have the same effect on your liver and kidneys than other DHT derivatives like Winstrol, for example, or Anavar, or even Anadrol, right? So that's a good option. So you can use injectable DHT derivative like Masteron, but then it's going to get more expensive and it's going to be a little bit of a pain because you're going to have to inject more steroids. So I would do that. I would throw in 25 milligrams of Proviron throughout your cycle. And even going into, after you stop taking the DECA, because it's going to be in your system a while, you keep using the Proviron. And a lot of people even will use Proviron in PCT after a DECA cycle, and that will help them tremendously. So Proviron is going to be your solution to help with Decadic. And I've been on the forums a long time. Anyone who's used Proviron with DECA on cycle, zero issues with libido, zero issues with erections. So this is almost 100% way to prevent any of these problems. And when you come off, if you don't use Proviron on cycle, your DHN levels are going to be sky high and your DHT levels will be low, right? So then if you're sensitive to DHT in that way, obviously you're going to have problems more than someone who isn't. So you could come off the DECA, feel good when you're on it, and then when you come off, feel horrible because now you're losing that anabolic effect in the body, and now you're left with high DHN and low DHT, and boom, now you have erection problems. Now you have the Decadic. So even... it's very important to use the Proviron on cycle the whole way. This way, when you come off, you don't have that imbalance. And that, for me, is the best thing you can do. Go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, there's a bunch of things here. So when we occasionally see this question come up, and Steve touched on it slightly earlier on, like what condition is the athlete in? If they're fat, if they're unfit, because you can be fat and unfit and still go to the gym. Literally the choice that you made when you decided to do the steroid stack in question for the reasons that Steve's just stated. You could argue, of course, Stephen, when it comes to erectile issues, this is just as common over here in the United Kingdom, perhaps not as big of a market, nevertheless, certainly the same issue. I'm an older gentleman. It's going to be something that affects you. Also the age of the athletes in there. And again, it's going to be stuff like, I'm using this particular stack. Well, if it's causing you problems, you don't have to stay doing that particular stack. You can change one of your steroid options to take that out. Something like Steve said as well, which is an issue in the terms of the parroting of that information. And again, it's the things like talking about DECA on its own versus what you're stacking it with. So the information that people, we do this on show, Steve, when we talk about steroid, we talk about the steroid in isolation to begin with. And then we talk about stacking it. And the moment you're using a combination, you're bringing something else in there that may also be playing a part. And I think it's sometimes easy, and I would have probably done this back in the day when we had less information, to read up the information on a steroid and not necessarily realize that the choice of the stack that I'm about to create, that I'm putting together for whatever purpose, may end up cause me different issues. That one works against another one, and so on and so forth. And don't forget, Pharmaco also does a great Proviron, that Steve's mentioned already. So there you go, on that particular one. I want to talk about now, Steve, before we run out of time, Pharmaco in and of itself, right? So first off, as we talked about earlier on, 72 different products just available on one reseller site, Steve. So that's fantastic. That's number one. Number two, and I touched on this in a recent show that we did on Pharmaco, we went off and looked at the products. That was almost an introduction to the company. And we went off and looked at them, and we said how they come across in terms of literally the physical appearance of their products. And as I said, it was very much in a medical-like way, that the product labeling, the holographics, the details, the batch numbers, all this kind of stuff. Steve and I are old enough and ugly enough in terms of the history of the sport, so we've seen products that look like they've been printed with a child's ink set. We know that back in the day, you used to do holograms, embossed batch numbers versus companies that were printing the batch numbers. So the batch number was the same on 5,000 boxes. You couldn't peel the labels off to check the information underneath and so on and so forth. So the fact that a company goes out of its way to make their product look exactly how it should, say, for example, compared to an underground lab where it's way more amateur hour, Steve, and labels that they bought on eBay, that kind of stuff. And then we get into the whole, what we talk about when we talk about approved products and why we recommend certain particular brands. We go, we recommend brands because they've been around a long time. Any company that's been around for 5 minutes, how can you trust it? You'd have to go and get it tested. So you want a company that's been around, not just on our family of forums, but every forum that people recognize the company, the brand, and they've had great results. That's, we're biased, we have rivals, we have companies, and yet it still comes across in a positive way amongst multiple sites, multiple forums, hundreds of thousands, tens of thousands of users, Steve. So that's super, super important. We've touched upon other shows when we said about testing. Now, there's in-house testing when you test it in your own lab. Where if you're a company that's producing steroids and you send it for exterior testing at an independent lab, or even, which is our absolute favorite, Steve, and we've seen this recently just in the last few days on another part of our forums, where products were sent off by a user of those products and paid off for their own product pocket and sent off to an independent lab for testing and coming back with great results. We like to see those kind of things. We like to see certificates of analysis on websites and so on and so forth. What are you thinking about PharmaQ, Steve? What's your opinion?
Yeah, and I've used them for at least 2 or 3 years now. And look, I've got some sitting right here as well. I've got some of, they're actually posted on my log. I'm using their Anabar. And I've used their testosterone recently as well.
Great choice.
Look, I can say that their Anabar is one of the most fake steroids, oral steroids, number one fake oral steroid for sure. And I can tell you, I've been on this Anabar, and let me tell you something. It's good stuff. Like, it's good stuff. I'm not having any bloat. I'm not having any weird side effects that would be associated with another steroid that they're putting in Anavar's place. The stuff has been tested. We know the stuff is good. So it's affordable. The prices are fair because they're such a big company. They can keep the prices affordable for their customers. So I'm very, very happy with Pharmaco. They're an excellent brand. I'm glad that we're doing a podcast on them.
Don't take our word for it, guys. I mean, look, one of the things I always encourage listeners to do, we might come across on a sponsored show or whatever else as a certain particular way. So you go, okay, you guys are biased. You're doing this, you're that. No. Go and do your own research. Find a reseller of their products. Check out what I've just said about the labels. Check out what I said about how the products come across. Do your own research. How long has the company existed? Can you find online tests like the sort of stuff we just mentioned? Not just what Steve and I have just said. Check for yourself. Go away and see that these things are true. So, I mean, don't get me wrong, Steve. We see these comments come up occasionally, and you go, right, I would have probably said the same fucking damn thing back in the day. But now I do pre-show research for all these shows, same as Steve does. We refer to reseller sites. We look at the products for ourselves. We've used products for ourselves. We've seen the certificates analysis. We know about the independent testing. So you can do the same thing. You can go off and check that what we said, verify what Steve and I are saying is correct. Literally go and look at the parental website. Look at the history. Look at the company background. You can sometimes, on certain companies, you can see photographs of the labs and the testing equipment that they use in the manufacturing process. I've seen on some sites videos of the manufacturing process, what the product's being made in front of your own very eyes, guys. So definitely make sure you go and check out Pharmaco. Do your research and say, is what Stephen Mobbs is saying correct? go online and check out Steve's log and see from the log, see literally what he's running right now, exactly like he's just said, and see the results that he's getting. He's literally starting to talk about in the log that Steve's running right now, the gym that he's going to, the results he's getting in the gym, how he feels when he's working out, and so on and so forth. So you can check that out for yourself. And then you can verify that what we're saying in these shows is exactly right. You can even do the historical stuff where we talk about issues with side effects, the reason why information was done in that particular way, and so on and so forth. And if you do that, hopefully, fingers crossed, you'll see that what we're saying is on point. And therefore, if we say that PharmaCrew is a great company, we think you're going to agree. If we say that the products are solid, we think you're going to agree. And hopefully, you'll do exactly the same thing. Again, as always, please make sure that you post comments below. Come onto the forums, ask questions, poke us a little bit with a stick if you think we made any mistakes. Check us out. And again, that helps us improve these shows, giving the information that you kind of want. And obviously, we want you to have great results after all. Please note, we are not doctors and the opinions are ours. It's our view and based on our experience and views on the topic. A podcast for informational purposes and entertainment only, the freedom of speech and the First Amendment.